Coming up on the program, jazz man Frank Catalano is going to join us. He's a favorite of the program. This would have been Jazz Fest weekend in downtown Chicago. So what do the cool jazz cats do now that they can't go to Jazz Fest? We'll find out. I think you want to stay tuned for this. It's not what you think. Dr. Ben Singer is with us. He is pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Medicine. And Dr. Singer, thank you very much for spending some time. A couple of different things that we normally talk to a doctor once a week from Northwestern Medicine, our partners here at WGN Radio. And obviously, since the COVID thing started, we call on you guys quite a bit. And the story of the week thus far has been this CDC report that shows that 94% of COVID-19 deaths have a contributing condition behind the death, and that 6% does not have a contributing condition, at least none identified. Can you explain that? Because that's being used now by people on both sides of this argument for and against the mitigations of COVID-19 to make their point. Can you just clarify what that stat actually means?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, because this is a really important thing to get some clarity on. So if you look at the data that makes up this statistic saying that 94% of people who die from COVID-19 have a contributing condition, if you look, go down the list, the contributing conditions are really common things. These are things that you see people walking down the street have: high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity. And if you look at one of the most common contributing conditions, it's just pneumonia. And we know that that is the way that COVID-19 makes people critically ill and unfortunately often leads to death, is by causing pneumonia. So to say that, you know, pneumonia is a contributing condition, while absolutely medically true, that is just a complication and far and away the most common way that COVID-19 makes people sick enough to unfortunately die.
It's a way of looking at this. It was explained to me yesterday by another medical professional, is the method and cause. So the method of death would be pneumonia, for example, given your example. And then the cause would be COVID. COVID caused you to have, but for COVID, you would not have had pneumonia. But for...
That's exactly, yes. That's a really good way of explaining it, yes.
And when you have, if you have heart failure or kidney failure after being diagnosed with COVID, it's but for COVID, you wouldn't have had that problem at that time. Now, one of the arguments I'm hearing from people is, well, these people would have died anyway. They wouldn't have died that day. And even if they died 6 months later, close to 200,000 people now that we expect to die by the end of this month have died from this in the last 7 months in the United States. But for COVID, most of those people would not have perished. Is that a way of looking at it?
Yeah, no, I think that is a good way of looking at it. And it's kind of a disingenuous and in many ways kind of callous way of looking at it to say that, well, these are people who would have died anyway. And if you look at your friends and neighbors that have high blood pressure as a contributing condition, people live with high blood pressure for decades, right? It's very easily controlled with medications. But, you know, to have to say that someone with high blood pressure would have died anyway, and to die from COVID in an ICU, isolated from family members, I mean, that's really an unfortunate way to look at it, and I think is an incorrect way to look at it.
Yeah. All of this, science, medicine, all of it is getting completely perverted by the social media, the media, all of that. It's just everything is getting filtered through, and it's amazing how everybody has become a scientist. There is some interesting news today, though. I will say this on the political COVID front, which is one of the new doctors who was on the task force, who's from Stanford, now is in D.C. on the task force, at least for this period of time. It was said that he came on the task force because he had been on Fox News and talking about herd immunity. He's now walked that back, or said that he's not pushing for a herd immunity solution to COVID-19. So I think it's important to note that. But there are a lot of people on social media and just folks, you know, walking around, and if you have a conversation with anybody about it, well, once we get herd immunity, everything's going to be okay. But that's really not true, is it?
No, it's far from the truth. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what herd immunity actually means. This means, for one thing, that you can be immune, right? And it is still unclear whether and for how long after having COVID-19 people become immune and remain immune. So that's one part of it. But even if that is true, to achieve levels of herd immunity, meaning that enough of us are immune that when the virus bounces from one person to another, it can't transmit itself because that person to whom it bounced is immune, that level is upwards of 70 or 80% of the population. And if you think about 70 or 80% of us all getting COVID, that means that hundreds of thousands of people would die from COVID, whereas they wouldn't have otherwise. And, you know, if you think about the extra death toll and burden on families in our society, it's just not an acceptable way to look at a strategy for this virus.
And not to mention the panic that would ensue as a result of that. All right, Doctor, hold on 1 second with me. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Medicine is joining us right now. We're going to talk about that bathroom thing. Stand by for this, because there's a study out about bathroom public use of public bathrooms and the flushing of the toilet. We'll get an answer from the doctor and also some non-COVID questions. And if you have a question for the doctor, 312-981-7200. That phone line is open, or the text line is open right now, 312-981-7200. But first, we've got Mary Vandeveld with the traffic and the weather. Dr. Ben Singer is with us from Northwestern Medicine. He's a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Medicine, and we're talking about COVID and other things. All right, before we get to the phone calls, we got some really good ones. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Doctor, I want to ask you about this story that indicates that COVID could be transmissible through the aerosol of toilets flushed in public bathrooms. Is there any truth to that? And what am I to make of it?
A theoretical concern right now. So the idea is that the virus could be in stool, it could be in urine, and then when you flush, particularly a urinal, that could spray up into the air and then spread the virus. We don't have any firm evidence of the virus being transmitted that way, and so I would still list it as a theoretical concern. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're in a public restroom, you should be wearing a mask anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to wear a respirator. I'm going to wear I'm going to have the whole 12 monkey suit on. Adam, you're on WGN. Say hello to Dr. Ben Singer. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So I just had a question about, there's so many different common coronaviruses that cause respiratory illnesses. But what's so different about this COVID-19 from any other, regular coronavirus?
Like the cold or some other coronavirus. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. So when we look at pneumonia, so severe lung infections, the most common cause is actually viruses. And among those viruses are viruses that also more commonly cause the common cold. And as you mentioned, coronaviruses have been on that list for a long time. But this particular coronavirus has mutated, right? It is mutated from other coronaviruses in a way that it has made it particularly contagious, particularly infectious, and capable of causing much severe disease than the coronaviruses that we think of usually causing the common cold and only occasionally causing pneumonia.
The virus itself is not a living thing, right? It basically is an agitator that gets into your system, and then your body reacts to this invader because it replicates. Because it can, even though it's not technically a living thing, it uses living cells to replicate itself.
That's exactly right. It can't replicate without a host, and in this case, the host is our bodies and our respiratory tract. That's exactly right.
Wow. Adam, does that make sense?
All right, thanks.
Yep. All right, thank you very much. Jim, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, good afternoon. I was listening to CNN last night with Chris Cuomo, and he had another guest on and a doctor who were talking about symptoms after they recovered, like blood vessel symptoms, heart issues, various things like that. Can you expand on that?
Good question. Doctor?
Yeah, it is such an important question, and we are learning so much more about the long-term effects of surviving COVID-19. You mentioned some of the things that have been noted about an increased possible risk for blood clots and other blood vessel problems. A lot of people are noting fatigue, muscle weakness, and people who have been very, very sick and have come through the intensive care unit can even have things like PTSD, flashbacks to that time when they were so sick in the ICU. And so remember, this virus has only been with us for less than a year, and so we're learning more and more about the long-term consequences as time goes on.
Michelle, you're on WGN. Dr. Ben Singer is with us from Northwestern Medicine. Go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you. My question is, you were mentioning earlier about, you know, someone could have a heart attack and have COVID, and COVID caused the heart attack, or pneumonia. They had pneumonia, but COVID caused pneumonia. Does the data from the CDC tell us if the person had pneumonia and then happened to have COVID, and died of pneumonia but happened to have COVID, versus COVID causing the pneumonia? Or does the data not show us that in that particular information from the CDC?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So the CDC data can't actually address your question in the way that you asked it, but it is a fantastic question. We know from other research, though, including a large body of research that has come from Northwestern, that the pneumonia that shows up with COVID is in almost all cases caused directly by the COVID virus. It's not as if there is another pneumonia and then COVID comes on top of it.
What about different ailments such as a heart attack or, you know, cancer or whatever? Can you tell in that data from the CDC if the person died of something else and happened to have COVID at the time, or if COVID truly was the thing that caused them to die?
Yeah, that's also a really important question about these other conditions like cancer and heart attacks and some of these other things. In the case of cancer, of course, COVID wouldn't cause cancer over a short period of time. So in that case, you know, that's a really nice way to understand what a contributing condition is. So cancer and the treatments that go along with cancer can certainly weaken a person's immune system and make them less able to fight off a severe infection like COVID. And so that certainly makes sense that COVID would be the main thing that made them so sick, but cancer, you know, was really a contributor in that case. So, you know, just having taken care of a number of these patients and been through a lot of the literature, the way it usually works is through something like that, where the person either has an underlying condition that makes them more likely to become very, very sick and unfortunately die, or COVID places such a stress on the body and its organ systems that it creates some additional problem, like a new heart attack. And then you're left dealing with a patient who has a newly weakened heart from a heart attack, as well as being so sick from COVID. And because they're sick in so many different ways, unfortunately makes them more likely to die from all of those things together.
Okay. So looking at that CDC data that's been going around Twitter doesn't tell you. You just can't figure that out in that information. How many of the deaths are truly because of COVID, or where COVID was just part of the equation that caused the death?
That is true, although the conclusion is always going to be, though, that these deaths would not have occurred were it not for COVID, right? So it is not. You know, realistic or something that really fits with our experience that someone, you know, would come in dying from a heart attack and just happen to have COVID on the side. That really has not been our experience. COVID is a major player and, in fact, the primary player in the patients who become critically ill when it's diagnosed.
All right.
But if someone came in with a heart attack and had COVID, you know, anecdotally, that would be noted on their death certificate, right?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question, Michelle, is what do you want to believe out of this?
No, it's to me, it's about the data, right? Like, there's so much information out there, and I spent a lot of time looking at that CDC study this weekend because, as you said, you know, everyone blew up over the weekend. Oh, you know, only 6% of the people really died from COVID, and I knew that couldn't be right. So I was reading the data over and over on the CDC website, trying to understand it, and that's why I'm asking the doctor the question.
Right. I understand. I think that one of the ways of looking at this, and Michelle, thank you very much. Appreciate it. One of the ways of looking at this, doctor, is if you, it's the but for thing. If you don't, if you had a heart attack and you happen to have an asymptomatic case, I think that's what people are wondering. If you have an asymptomatic case of COVID and then you just happen to have a heart attack, that there must be a lot of people out there like that, and that's inflating these numbers. And that's, I think, political, yeah, but I think that's what people are thinking. And that that's not your experience?
It's not our experience, and it just doesn't jive with reality. You know, if you come in with a heart attack and test positive for COVID, it's really hard to say that that's asymptomatic, right? The heart attack is the symptom of COVID.
But isn't it? But most of the people who are dying in the hospital, they're dying after weeks and weeks and weeks of being in the hospital. I mean, you've been trying to, and they may have a heart attack because they're in a weakened condition. This isn't like a street walk-in or an ambulance situation where someone's had a heart attack and, oh my God, they've got COVID. These are people who are coming in and presenting with the respiratory issues of COVID and then eventually succumbing to organ failure or heart attacks or whatever the rest of that is, which is why that's a comorbidity on the death certificate.
That's exactly right. When people come in and ultimately die of COVID, you're exactly right that it's oftentimes weeks and weeks into a stay in intensive care. And that's because life support is able to keep people's organ systems going, oftentimes for quite a while. But as more and more complications arise, you know, it becomes less and less possible for somebody to have a full recovery.
Yeah, Dr. Pensinger, thank you for what you do. Appreciate it at Northwestern as a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern dealing with COVID patients. Appreciate your expertise on this and clarifying all those points for us. Thank you, sir. Talk to you again soon. We've got news right now for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Kim Gordon.